You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Okay, welcome again to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. And let me remind you, the newchurches.com, one-stop shop of church planting resources, all free, provided to you by our partnership with the Send Network as well. These conversations we're having are really been helpful for a lot of church planters. If you wouldn't mind liking and sharing, it helps other people find out about this as well. So let's jump into our conversation. Ron Edmondson's our guest. Ron's a lead pastor at Emmanuel Church, Lexington, Kentucky. And a lot of us know him from the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast. He was the former CEO of Leadership Network, has planted churches, revitalized churches, and more. So we're going to jump right into our conversation. You are currently at Emmanuel Church in Lexington, Kentucky. I've had the privilege of preaching there, not when you were the pastor, though you have been the pastor there twice, which is a fascinating thing. I only know a few people who've pastored the same church twice, and that's fascinating. But you've led this church, it's 114 years old, to be involved in church planting. So this is, you know, someone, church planter might be listening and say, I'm going to share this with an established church, or maybe an established church is listening and say, how do I get involved? How did you lead Emmanuel to be involved in church planting?
Well, yeah, I came from church planting to Emmanuel, so I came with the church planter's hat. I joked with the search committee when I first came that, look, you guys don't really want me. I only shave twice a week, and I wear sandals to work during the week. I came with that hat and that mindset. And I don't know if you remember this years ago, when you were at Lifeway Research, I suggested a research project. I would love to see this sometime, and you still have the means to do this, where we could take all the kingdom dollars that are spent on established non-productive churches and add that up and then compare it to another group of church plants that are 10 years and under, and what are their resources based on the results that they're getting. I think we'd be astounded. Church plants are effective and efficient with their dollars. They don't have any choice to be, and they're passionate and they're ready to go. Now, I know lots of established churches that are as well, and I certainly hope this is one. So part of my leadership of Emmanuel is to say, look, to whom much is given, much is required. And there are places that even places across the globe that are having far more success with the gospel than what we are having here in Lexington, Kentucky. We need to know about them and we need to get behind them. We need to learn from them, but we also need to fuel their fire with what God has given us. So thankfully we have a history of that here. It's not completely new. One of our campuses was actually a plant of ours. So you talk about coming back the second time, we planted them. 25 years later, they were having a hard time. They came back to be a part of us and are now one of our campuses. So that's a beautiful story of revitalization, but also church planting. But then when I was here before, we led the church to be involved. And I find partnerships are always better than trying to do it on ourselves. There are plenty of people out there on the ground doing it. When I was here before, we partnered in Chicago, and Ed, I got to work with you and some of the stuff that is happening in church planting in Chicago. But I think the other thing to lead, they have to see me doing it. You know, they have to see me out. So whenever I would go to Chicago or whenever I go somewhere and we're talking to a church plant, I'm telling those stories. They're hearing that from me all the time, it's not just about us. There's plenty of people out there doing great things.
Yeah. So when you talk to an established church, you know, there's a lot of different reactions people can have. And one of the reactions is that why do we need more churches? There are lots of churches already. And, you know, this is kind of a perennial question, a perennial argument that people have. So, I mean, or why are we not reaching the people in Lexington, for example? There's people who need Jesus in Lexington. You got a big university there. Lots of people need Jesus there. So how do you get a church, an established church, to think in outwardly focused ways when maybe that's not their default position to do?
Yeah, again, I think a lot of it is the modeling and the leading by example and the storytelling and that sort of thing. You know, we also have the nations coming to us in Lexington, and I'm constantly telling that story as well, that we have 27 nations represented in our congregation, and I want to champion that and say church planting's coming to us. They're coming and making us different, and we can't overlook that. But I think it's a lot of the modeling. I think it's a lot of leadership in terms of when I came originally and started looking at our missions budgets and where we were going, were we just sending dollars somewhere with no vision attached to it, no real strategy attached to it? And then there's a lot of dollars that went there that we could begin to attach to church planting. And then again, telling that story over and over and over again. People like to see results. Obviously, they want to see them in Lexington, and the majority of our dollars are supporting work of the gospel in Lexington. But there's when we can go across the continent or to another continent and we can see incredible results, people are fueled by that and willing to do more.
Okay, so you're casting some vision, helping to be outwardly focused. Are there ways that you engage and involve people? Because for those of you who don't know, Ron and I are friends for a long time, and Ron got involved with some Chicago projects we were doing, and Ron personally was involved as well. So obviously the pastor can be involved. You probably have sway over the budget as well. But how do you try to get people on staff or lay people, volunteers? How do they get engaged and involved? What does that look like?
Well, when somebody said something to me one time, the way we ended up in Chicago is someone said to me, we were looking for a city to invest and go deep in. And somebody said, find a city you love and your people will love and lead them to go there with you. So my son went to Moody. We love Chicago. We spent a lot of time there over the years on vacation. In proximity to where we are, it made sense. And so we were able to drive there if we wanted to or fly there very quickly. And it's a place that families want to go to baseball or whatever. So we began to shape that as not just, it's okay to go to Chicago, see a baseball game, have fun, and while you're there, let's invest in some church planting.
Yeah, sure.
So that made a lot of sense for us and why we chose Chicago at the time. And it really is, and then the other thing is, and we've just done this as a church, we just did a huge faith and work survey where I now know 16% of our congregation is connected to healthcare, 12% to education. So we know who our people are better now than we did even when I was here before. And so now we can begin to engage them with something they already know and care about. You know, healthcare people can be involved in church planting efforts that involve medical attention, you know, in parts of the world and that sort of thing. So we're going to start to engage people with kind of what they already love and the language they already speak, so to speak, with their careers. So you got to engage. You can't forget the fact people are going to do what they want to do. They're going to go where they want to go. Church planting matters. And the more we can put those two together, the more successful we're going to be. So match somebody's want and desire. If you got people that are constantly going to Florida on vacation, and we have that, look at Florida, and we're doing that now. We're saying, what are some church planting opportunities in Florida? Because our people are already there.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So when you think about those kind of partnerships, you know, I when I taught church planting, I had two classes back in the day. One class was intro to church planting, and the second was advanced church planting. And with advanced church planting, I had them do case studies. And one time I had people create just one specific class, case studies. And I think it was like 20 different churches. And I wanted them to kind of do research on the way they partnered with their mother church now, or their primary sponsor church. Not everyone uses their mother church, but the church that was primarily responsible for church plants. A lot of churches get involved, and you're involved in other churches where somebody else is the primary plant, the church that's being planted out of. But what was interesting is that of the 20 that we did, 7 out of 10 had relational problems between the daughter church and the mother church. Sometimes, and you know, this was a while ago, so sometimes it was, you know, paradigms of ministry, and that's not as much of an issue anymore. But so how do you suggest, let's start with, how do you suggest that planters, which is most of our audience, seek to build partnering relationship with established churches so that they kind of upfront get the right relational connection and partnering approach?
Well, I think it starts with clear expectations, putting them on the table. What are you expecting of us and what are we expecting of you? And I always tell planters when they show up at our door, and we get lots of them because, again, we're a fairly large established church. So we have lots, and everybody, all they're looking for from us most of the time is a check. They don't want any connection. They just want a check. And I just always say, the more specific you are with me, the more we can help. And just like people sitting in our established church, our people give to causes and results more than they give to a name or anything else. So they want to see results. And so the more you can tie that to your request, the more successful that request is going to be. And so come to me with a vision that has some teeth to it, that what you're going to do. And you worked in Chicago and you saw the number of church plants that came through there. The ones that I saw that were the most successful were the ones who had something tangible to look at and visualize and some sort of goal. When I could go with a planter in Chicago and he could say, here's what's happening in my community and here's how we're going to address it and this is how we're meeting the real needs, they were much more attractive to me as an established church than somebody that just says, I just want to win people to Jesus.
Yeah.
So, be very specific. I think the other thing is to realize so many differences. And so realize an established church, there's so much to a structure. So I'll get somebody that will contact me in January and ask me, hey, would you partner with us? And I'm like, okay, we're in budget cycle that started 2 weeks ago. Call me in 9 months or 6 months.
That's key. No. The budget cycle really is key.
It really is. Yeah. Because
people don't realize that. And so they call up and they get no's all the time. But if you can sort of find the budget cycle, and the budget cycle is different. They're not all the same.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I would say, if I'm the church planter, and again, I've been on both sides, you be the initiator of the relationship. Don't wait for that established church to say, hey, can you send me your monthly report or your quarterly report? You be the initiator. And I'm not saying wear them out, but I want to hear regularly that what we invested in or what we're talking about investing in is working. And so, schedule that out. You can systematize that where you're periodically doing that. And I realize that's work, but I have to do that work for my church all the time. Every week I'm sending an email or doing a video about what you did this week that made a difference in Lexington. Take the time and the initiative to do that, and it will go a long ways with those established churches. And I mentioned this earlier, but don't just ask for money. Seek more than money. So the best thing you may get, and I'm being a little facetious here and maybe even sounding a little arrogant, and I don't mean that. But if you come to me as an established church, I'm talking about Ron Edmondson, and you realize we've planted two churches successfully, very successfully, and all you do is ask me for money and you don't ask for my help, my advice, you've already shot yourself in the foot. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, totally.
Because so ask for more than that. A lot of times an established church, here's a great place an established church can help every church planter. I do this all the time. Church planter comes, they need some help getting started. I introduce them to our business administrator.
Right.
Because he can help them with things they don't even need to be worried about. Make sure their budget's lined up. Whatever they need to make the church functional. When we were a church planter and we waited too long to hire a business administrator, so that was a big problem we had in church planning, and I became the business administrator. But you can borrow ours for an hour or two, and we'll let you do that. So ask for more than just money.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, I sort of like, I want money though. I mean, I need money. I got to pay the bills. But I think one of the things too is that it's not just, there's a difference between being having a partner and a funder.
Yes.
And there are sometimes when I'm going to say, hey, can you give, you know, be a part of our funding system, $300 a month would go a long way to help support that. But one of the things, and you and I've worked together, is that you would speak into the leaders that we would work with and more, and to find the other things, and finances often are connected with that, but to find the other things that a church can also provide is really key and good advice. And I think important for us. What are signs of a good partnership between a sponsor church, between a partner church and a new church?
You know, I think when there's communication is obviously the first one. For me, that what that looks like, and this was when I was a church planter, and we did have some churches that we worked with, when I wasn't afraid of when the phone rang and I saw them on my caller ID, you know, that was a sign that, hey, okay, we're getting along. So I didn't always feel like there was this big brother, big mother, whatever it was, looking over my shoulder. I really felt the partnership, the genuine concern. I have a true heart for planters. And so, I mean, I love just when I can be with them, take them to lunch or take them to a meal or send them something. I love doing that. And so and I'm not offering that, I'm not doing it for anybody as a result of this podcast.
You might just get 50 calls after saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do enjoy that. And so I think a sign of a healthy partnership is when that is enjoyed both ways and the planter and the pastor enjoy that relationship. It's not just transactional. It's not just the dollars trading. It really is. We're doing some life together. And we have a partner in Denver, for instance. And I went out and preached for him recently. And you know, we did go to dinner. And Cheryl and I left them some money behind just to bless them as a family. And, you know, that was a genuinely life-giving relationship for both of us.
Yeah, it's key.
And so when that is the case and both are winning, I think that's the sign of a healthy relationship.
Ron Edmondson with Good Counsel and Advice for Church Planters. Thanks for listening to the New Churches podcast. And thanks, Ron, for taking the time to be with us.
Absolutely.
All right. See you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.